Well, happy Sabbath, everyone. last week, message, it was about how a lot of times we may be growing spiritually, but we end up reaching a particular point in our lives and we're like, we're fine. And a lot of times we encourage that too. We kind of like, oh, you're doing great, and you know, you did good, you look great, you're doing fine, and we kind of stay in that particular time point in our lives. But yet, God wants us to keep growing. The message of last week was letting them know there's more that God wants to work in our lives to transform us. We think we're fine, but God is letting us know you're not. There's still so much I want to do in your life. You know, you're still you, but a better you. A you that can bring honor and glory to God in every aspect of our lives. And one of the things that God is trying to work is trying to give us victory over every sin in our lives. And so if we think that we're fine, we're causing a bit of a stump in what God's trying to do in our hearts. The times that we're facing now is time for purifying so that God can get rid of sin in our lives, and then he can get rid of sin in the life of the world, and finally get rid of sin entirely throughout the universe. The trials that we face are to purify us and draw us closer to God as we seek him during these trials. Christ is soon to return. We know that, and we can talk about all the details and things happening in this world, letting us know we're so much closer to his soon return. But what are we to do from now until then, where we're facing ever-increasing wickedness and evil in this world, where we hear about truth is either, whatever truth is yours, for you, oh, that's your truth, right? We sometimes may hear that, not necessarily in that particular word, we may be bombarded and saying, you know, this is what I think I am, or I am, I define myself as, or what I do and what I believe. It might go contrary completely to even the laws of the land, or even primarily the laws of God, and yet that's their truth, and we can't say anything about that. But then there's the other side of the spectrum, where truth is hard to distinguish, because there's so much information. We can go through, we can say, down the rabbit hole, and we get so much information that we lose sense then of what is truth. We lose sense of what is right and wrong. But what are we to do as we navigate in this world awaiting Christ's return? There are, of course, many things that we are doing and things that we can be doing. Definitely, we need to continue to grow in Christ and through him overcome every sin and temptation. We're to share the gospel wherever we go and encouraging others to be ready for Christ's soon return. And lastly, we're not to lose our faith, kind of summarizing into these three little things. But Christ knows that we are facing and will be facing many things that this world will be bringing towards God's people as we unite closer to God. We know there will be persecutions and all sorts of oppositions towards God's people. But what then are we to be doing? God gives us a parable to illustrate what we are to do. In Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, it tells of the parable of the persistent widow. You know, when I first read this story when I was little, and I hear people, oh, this is telling us of what we're to be doing in the end time. This is a weird story to be explaining about what we're supposed to be doing in the end time. But let's read it. We're not going to go too into detail. There's so much we can unpack. There's something definitely we should do as a Bible study together and really unpack. There's so much incredible information there. But as we read here, I'm going to read through it. It says, verse 1, then he spoke a parable to them, speaking to his disciples. It says that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God and nor regard men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord, I know, right? Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? So it's quite interesting. For one thing, God lets us know that we ought to be praying and not lose heart, not lose faith. Continually be praying, continually hold on to our faith. But this judge, it's quite interesting, right? He has no regards to what is right. Doesn't fear God, does not regard man. He has no pity for the suffering, for the oppressed, for those who are yearning for justice. Doesn't care much. And he shows his arbitrary power. He will decide when to take your case, and if to take your case, and what decision he would make. But on the other hand, you have the widow. Consistently persistent, wanting justice to be done for her from her adversary. And she had faith, yet she was being treated with such contempt. The judge, to save his reputation and avoid giving public attention to this one-sided and partial judgment, he decided to avenge her. And her persistence got her case to trial. So from one end, she got what she was asking for. She got her justice. It took a while, but she got her justice. But on the other hand, the judge was very selfish. Dealing with this issue, he decided to deal with it for his own reputation. He didn't want this attention on something that's small in his mind, and so he dealt with it for selfish reasons. He had no compassion or pity towards this woman. God, on the other hand, he considers and helps those who seek him with infinite compassion. He hears our cries. He understands what we're going through. And if we think back, Jesus was oppressed. Jesus was persecuted. And yet, he did not lose hope. He did not stop praying and communicating with his Father. In Christ's Object Lesson, page 171, says the character of the judge in the parable, who feared not God nor regarded men, was presented by Christ to show the kind of judgment that was then being executed, that he would soon be witness at his trial. He desired his people in all time to realize how little dependence can be placed on earthly rulers or judges in the day of adversity. Often the elect people of God have to stand before men in official positions who do not make the word of God their guide and counselor. Now this, you may say, well, you know, there are certain leaders that are Christian and they promote how Christian they are. But notice what it says here. It's not saying that they're not Christian. It says they do not make the word of God their guide and counselor. Meaning they're not going to the word of God to determine what should be done in this situation or any situation they may be confronted, but who follow their own consecrated and undisciplined impulses. Remember Pilate? He didn't follow the word of God. He didn't do it based on what is right or wrong, but based on what? The crowd. Based on what would protect his reputation. Very similar to this judge in this parable. In the parable of the unjust judge, Christ has shown what we should do. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him? Christ, our example, did nothing to vindicate or deliver himself. He committed his case to God, so his followers are not to accuse or condemn or to resort to force in order to deliver themselves. Who better to protect and defend themselves than Jesus himself, who's God himself, created the heavens and the earth? And yet he did not do that. He trusted upon God and went to be dealt with his way and in his time. So what happens when we're facing trials and they seem so unexplainable? Why are we going through all these things? Well, don't let your peace be spoiled. Keep your peace. No matter how unjust, don't let passions arise. Christ did not let his passions arise. He trusted upon God. We must do likewise. A spirit of retaliation injures ourselves. It destroys our trust in God and it grieves away the Holy Spirit. Because instead of being dealt with God's way, many times we apply it to do it our way. And a lot of times it's very selfish, kind of like that judge. Remember, there is a witness by our side, a heavenly messenger, an angel of God who is there. It says in Christ's Object Lessons, who will lift up for us a standard against the enemy. He will shut us in with in with the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness. Beyond this, Satan cannot penetrate. He cannot pass this shield of holy light. You know, this brings to mind, it's a testimony of mine. I was in high school. We were in the gym, in the locker room, and at the end of this hallway that we had there, there was this a student there that got angry at me. I still don't know, even to this day, I have no idea why he was angry at me. But it's such frustration, and he was sort of picking on me from a distance. It seemed far, but in reality, the hallway is probably not very long. It seemed far in my mind. But in that moment, I didn't know what to do in that situation. And I know when I was very growing up, I was always told, you know, just leave it in God's hand, just leave it in God's hand. And in that moment, I just felt a bunch of people surrounded me. And one of them was a student who was a football player. He was one of the linesmen. He's a big guy. He's a lot taller than I am, at least even back then. So he's about the height of the other kid, but he's a lot bigger. And he's the nicest guy you could ever meet. But if you mess with him, he could be the meanest person you could ever meet. Because they mention a lot of stories of him in when they're playing football. So he was there, and he said a few things to the other student and ended up walking away. But I felt that there were so many. But in reality, it was just that one student. But it was God letting me know I wasn't alone. He had his angels there protecting me and guiding me like this. And the reason I bring that up, because I've had situations even at work where I've been confronted and people don't like how I do things, who I am, whatever it may be. They're picking on me. And I remember that situation that happened in the past. You have your stories that God brings to your mind to help you, what? To keep that peace in your heart. And so that brings to mind and realizing what we battle is not flesh and blood. That person who may be attacking me may not realize the harm that they're causing towards someone else. And so our way of responding cannot be the same way that they want us to respond. Cannot be the worldly way, because we will miss the opportunity to reach to their heart so that they understand and realize, wait a second, I'm doing something that I shouldn't be doing. As we are approaching the end of this earth's history, we will hear and witness many of God's people in anguish. Many of our people being in opposition, going through all sorts of trials, being oppressed, being discriminated, being hated upon. The persecution that we're hearing even in other parts of this world, you know, it's not something that we should be joyful of, but at the same time, we understand it's going to be occurring. Continue to be praying for each other. Persecution will be everywhere. And God's people, you and me, will be the main focus of their anger and their force. But as the widow in the parable, who didn't lose faith and was persistent, we too need to be persistent, praying to God to get justice for me from my adversary. And God, who is a compassionate and loving God, is just and will avenge every one of us. In Romans chapter 12, verse 19 to 21, it says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, what are we to do? Feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The day will come when the wicked of this earth will be judged." Remember, in Revelation, talks about Babylon, spiritual Babylon, which represents the apostate church who causes the whole world to follow her in opposition towards God. It mentions in Revelation 2 that she will never change. I mean, there's other parts in Scripture that mentions Babylon will never change, right? Can a leopard change his spots, right? It can never change. But the sins that she is causing is piling up. And it mentions Revelation chapter 18, verses 5 to 8. It says, "For her sins have reached to heaven." They have been piling up for so long that they have been reaching up to heaven. And God has remembered her iniquities. You know, and the children's story mentioned about, you know, how men trying to reach to the heavens, they can't by their own physical ability, but by their sins, they definitely are reaching in it straight to heaven. And God is remembering her iniquities. "And render to her just as she rendered to you, all the opposition, all the persecution, all the hatred and awful things that Babylon has been doing to God's people, God will render it back to her. And it says, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorify herself and live luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. We can put our enemies even in that picture. You know, it's very easy to see the wicked of this world, the people in the world living lavishly. I'm amazed how so many people have reached to become such wealthy people, but through the backs of others, through lies, to deceit, to deception, breaking laws to reach it to a certain prestigious. And it look amazing from the outside, but God knows really what's going on. So it's kind of putting them in this situation. It says, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and I am no widow. Quite interesting. And will not see sorrow. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. The world will be judged and quickly will face their sentence. They won't have a place to escape the wrath of God. But until then, you and I have a work to do. Many who are part of Babylon today, who are part of the world, who are part of the enemy, whether they are aware of it or not, they need to be reached with the gospel. Our lives are to be a sermon about Christ for them to witness. Our words are to be Christ's words of hope and love and truth to their ears. Our actions are to be Christ reaching out to them with compassion. God doesn't say it's easy and it's pleasant and a walk in the park, but he does say to trust him. He says to not give up. He also will provide us with strength and power and words and hope. As the widow faced a worldly judge who did not fear God nor regarded man, we too will face judges and rulers of this world to give account of our faith. And I'm sure many of you already have been facing that. Remember God's word in Daniel chapter 12. After he says about that there will be a time of trouble like never has happened, he says to you and me, in Daniel 12, verse 1, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Now is not the time for vengeance. It's time for outreach, reaching our family, our friends, our neighbors, strangers, and enemies with the gospel, with our testimony and our good works. So in conclusion, God wants to have a close relationship with you. In a relationship, primarily a close relationship, it doesn't necessarily have to be a husband and wife. It could be a close friend, a sibling, a parent and child. But we all have a close relationship with someone. But to have that close relationship, it requires a lot of time that we need to spend together. Spending the day doing things together or in communication with what's going on. With that, you get to know each other very well. Right, you know each other deeply in various different ways, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, their ups and downs, their good habits, their bad habits. You know what the buttons to push and what buttons to avoid. You get to know each other so much. You encourage one another. You help each other to grow and to improve, to be a better person. Helping one another get rid of old habits and adopt new habits. But this bonding causes the two to also be more alike. You will still have your own personalities, but much, if not all, of your character will be more alike. And that's what God wants to do with you. As we spend more time with him, less time with the entertainments of the world, we grow more like God. When he encourages us to grow and to be better people, he will change our good habits, our old bad habits, to new good habits, giving us victory over every sin in our lives. And when those trials, those tribulations and problems and even persecution arise, we face them with a cheerful heart and a hopeful future. As we face them with God, he will carry us through them to the end. So let's continue to grow in Christ as we know time is running out, to be persistent in our prayer, keeping hold of our faith in Christ. And we will hear the sweet words of our Savior and King, well done, good and faithful servant. Maranatha.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we are all facing our trials and tribulations. Lord, let us not give up. And still in our hearts, Lord, this love and compassion for those that are doing harm towards us, that we pray for them, that we reach to them with love, with kindness, with compassion, so that they may know who you are through our actions. I know it seems bizarre and weird compared to how the world deals with things, with confrontations and trials and problems in their lives. But Lord, we're not here to hurt our enemy. We're here to reach our brothers and sisters who need to know who you are through our life, as they have not been able to open up their hearts to you. Guide us, Lord, and protect us. We know it's not easy, but we are thankful for the blessings you've given us and the changes you've done in our lives to improve our health and our well-being and our relationships. Be with us in this Sabbath day, that we can enjoy this Sabbath, beautiful Sabbath that you bless us with, in fellowship and an amazing day that we can have that you have planned for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.